The Glass Lady Project with your host, Becky Mitchell. This program features artists and individuals from our community who have stories and history to share.
This is Becky Mitchell, and on today's show, I am having a guest host, Pippi Mayfield, interviewing David LaRood on his time serving in the Becker County Ice Harvest years.
Well, what years were you involved with the ice harvest, or even roughly?
I believe it was, I think I started in December of 53, although it may have been January.
Okay.
And then the following year would have been, well, it'd been 54 in December, I think, or January when we started. I'm just not clear, and that's 64 years ago.
That's understandable.
And then the third year I worked there, I worked summertime for Madison Silos. I drove a truck for them, and I hauled silo staves out. And,
okay.
And they called me back in the middle of January because they'd sold a lot of silos in North and South Dakota, and they wanted them hauled out so they could start building as soon as the ice went, or the frost went out.
Right.
And road restrictions would be on, so you couldn't get them out then for a couple months. So,
okay.
And I was glad of that because I had a much easier job than the ice harvest.
So what made you get into the ice harvest the first year?
Work.
Okay.
Just necessity. I was just married and needed some income.
Yeah.
And
did you know someone connected with it? Is that how you got with it? Or
I did. I knew Dick Rue. He was he worked for Madison Silos too. He was a builder there, but
okay.
I knew him. And so he put in a word for me. I was like 20 years old at the time, you know.
Okay.
And anyway, there are two things about the ice harvest.
Mm-hmm.
There were no easy jobs.
Sure.
And whatever jobs they had were cold. And,
did you know what the work was like before you started?
No.
Okay.
No.
Once you started, did you wish you didn't know?
No, it was, well, that was then and now is now. And if the ice harvest were to take place today, I think you'd be very hard-pressed to find people that would work on it.
Yeah, just because of the conditions.
Would.
Yeah.
But back in 54, 5, in there, it was income.
Right.
There wasn't much work in the Detroit Lakes area, so you took what you could find, and it was better than unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
And I never cared to draw unemployment.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about the jobs that you actually did.
The job that I done was, I'm trying to remember how many cars there were. I think there were four cars, and then the heifer car, and then the bull car.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in the heifer car. That was the second one from the street end.
Okay.
The others went down to the lake, and those two cars were the ones that took all the ice cakes that come up the tramway.
Mm-hmm.
You had to get them put in your car.
Did you stack the blocks, or what did you do?
We called them swinging them. The way it worked, the tramway came up, and then a chute would come down.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick Rue, that I mentioned, he was a switchman. He would pull the ice cakes off the tram, and they'd come down the chute.
Okay.
First three cakes you'd come in. Then you had to lift the chute up and put this under the chute. And then you filled in the doorway with the cakes. And then I swung to the right.
Okay.
And the other guy swung to the left, and then there was one guy on each end of the car that put them into place.
Okay.
And worked from the doorway to the end of the car on the first year. The second year, you worked from the end of the car to the door. That was much easier.
Oh, yeah.
And then the third tier was a little more difficult because they didn't come down that fast, so you had to swing them a lot harder to get them to the back.
To get them up there, yeah.
It was hard work, there's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we really had to, two of the things we had to watch out for was these were all grain cars, you know. They hauled grain railroad in.
Yep.
So they used wooden doors to nail to the walls so that the grain wouldn't run out.
Right.
Consequently, where we were swinging, we had to watch for nails protruding
Didn't.
You only got hooked once, and then you remembered to look for them. The other thing was these cakes were all 300 pounds or thereabout.
Yeah.
You know? And we called it a gym pole. We hung across a door across the car.
Mm-hmm.
Because when these cakes come down, if you missed it or if you didn't get a hold of it, it was your tongs, it would go and it would hit that gym pole. And if it didn't hit the gym pole, for some reason or another, slid underneath it and knocked the doors right off the car. The railroad kind of frowned on that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
But they had a crew of guys that just went around putting doors on. Because it happened quite frequently. But it was you had to know the guy that was working, especially on the first tier, the guy that was working in the hole. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty fortunate to always have a pretty good man down there.
Mm-hmm.
Although I got one, we used to alternate two. I would swing one row, that guy would swing the second row, and so we worked that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I had one guy there, he just couldn't move. He couldn't swing, for one thing, and he couldn't move very good down in the hole, and I was always scared I was going to drop a cake ice on his legs.
Yeah. Maybe he should have had a different job.
Yeah, he didn't really belong there, but he was there and getting paid for it, so.
Yeah. Huh. Did you build good relationships with these guys? I mean, you're kind of suffering through this cold, hard labor together.
Oh, yeah. We had great camaraderie with everybody. It was somewhat of a competition between the heifer car and the bull car.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was good-natured. And then, of course, these were the good cakes that we got. The rest, we call them cripples. They went up and over the end, and there was a big cripple pile there. And there was also some good cakes that went up there. Well, I worked for Addison Miller Ice, and then Fargo, Detroit was next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come. I don't know if both of them had ice houses or what, but they would take a lot of these cripples, and they would put them in their ice houses and use them to sell for ice boxes and whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Please stay tuned for further interviews done by Pippi Mayfield with David LaRude on the Becker County Ice Harvest.
This audio piece was produced in the KKWE studios in Callaway, Minnesota, on the White Earth Reservation. This project is fully funded by a generous grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. If you'd like to hear more, check out our online archive at www.nijiradio.org.